This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Communities in Schools of Kalamazoo has launched a $4.5 million fundraising campaign. Today we're going to talk about what Communities in Schools does in Kalamazoo and the goal of this campaign with Executive Director Pam Kingery. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
And the President of the Board, Carolyn Williams. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's my honor.
Let's start with talking about Communities in Schools. I'm sure many people know the name, but do they know exactly what Communities in Schools does? Tell us a little bit about the organization. What are the services provided?
Well, we place a site coordinator in each of 19 Kalamazoo public schools to connect resources, community resources, to students to remove all of the barriers that might exist for them in doing well in school. So we secure the resources of the community, whether it's tutors, mentors, healthcare services, dental care, vision care, all of the things that a child might need to grow and develop. We bring those services to the school so that our site coordinators can connect those services to students so that they can succeed in school.
And we need to make it clear that Communities in Schools does not provide the service. It makes sure that the needs are identified and determined both appropriately, some of them for the entire school building, some of them for individual identified students, so that if they have specific issues, they can be the focus of consistent long-term attention and service.
More of a liaison, finding the needs and then finding the partners out there who can address those needs.
Exactly.
Are there eligibility requirements? In other words, you know, do you have to be below a certain income level to be eligible for someone to provide help?
We don't focus so much on eligibility in the usual sense as much as we focused, as Carolyn says, on the assessed needs. Typically, the students that we are serving are low-income students, because those are the students who have difficulty accessing the things that they need in order to grow and develop. So 92% of the students that we serve qualify for free and reduced price lunches, for example.
And Communities in Schools is based in more than one school district in Michigan. Detroit is another one. Kalamazoo is the second largest, is that right?
Kalamazoo is the second largest. There are five local affiliates and a state office in Michigan. Michigan has just reestablished a state office in order to try to grow the network in Michigan. But right now there are five local affiliates. And yes, Kalamazoo is the second largest.
Communities in Schools launched in Kalamazoo in 2003. It was kind of some other groups had merged together to form Communities in Schools. Did the mission of Communities in Schools or the operations change in any significant way 2 years later when the Kalamazoo Promise was announced?
I don't think our mission changed. I think that our capacity to engage the community changed. The Kalamazoo Promise is an incredible catalyst for everybody to act so that as many students as possible can use the gift of the Kalamazoo Promise.
And many of the supporters, the board members, were originally participants in one of the three originating organizations. So they understood the importance of identifying the supports that would enable the students in the school district to take advantage of the Kalamazoo Promise.
And have we learned a little bit more since the Kalamazoo Promise was announced about what it takes to succeed in school? That people have sort of seen that, well, it's nice to put the carrot out there, a free college, but if people are not ready to learn, they may not be able to achieve it. Have we learned that lesson a little better over the last 8 or 9 years?
I'm not sure that that's a new lesson. In the interest of full disclosure, I served 18 years as a family court judge, and so I saw many of the families whose children had issues affecting their ability to be consistent participants and productive participants in the school system. So we have known for a long time that poverty interferes with the ability to do well in school. instability in housing, uncertainty of family relationships, inability to see clearly the backboard or to have regular and consistent dental and health services. All of these things are barriers, and those are some of the things that Communities and Schools helps to identify and then coordinate the provision of services for.
So now there's a $4.5 million fundraising campaign, which is underway. Why have you launched this now? What are you hoping to do?
Well, I'll let Pam speak to the first part of our regular funding activities, and then we'll talk about what our goal is in the campaign.
The campaign is intended to, it's really an operational campaign. Many fundraising campaigns tend to be for capital, tend to be for buildings. This one is for operating expenses so that we can continue this important work, that the community can continue to invest in this whole child strategy that we've developed. When we did our last campaign, we were in 6 schools. We've since grown to 19 schools. Clearly, we have a goal of being in every school so that we can meet student needs. So it is intended to help us continue that work, continue having the capacity to follow students over time, to start with them when they're in elementary school, and if their needs are continuing to follow them as they progress from middle school to high school and stay on the path to a successful college-ready graduation.
The purpose of the campaign, as we've tried to outline it and sell it, if you will, to the community, is to allow us to sustain our current capacity for after-school support, provide partial school support capacity in our remaining sites. And some of the sites, especially after-school programs, are dependent on federal grant funding, which may or may not be renewed. We want to increase the numbers of students who receive long-term case management, improve and evaluate how we're doing, because we don't want to just slough along and do things just because that's the way they've always wanted to be done. We always in the continuous quality improvement process, increase tutoring and sustain the focus on what we expect that the majority of students can benefit from their participation in the services provided by Communities and Schools.
How much of an unmet need is there right now out there in the community? And I know that may be tough to really quantify, but what's your sense of, maybe not only how many students do you not reach with the services you currently provide, but what are some services that should be provided that right now just can't be done?
Well, I can tell you absolutely we never have enough tutors. So, Gordon, if you were able as a result of this interview to double the number of tutors that we had, and most of them were standing up and saying, I can tutor in math, you would be my personal hero.
But you'd still be looking for more math tutors,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. So tutors are a huge need.
And excuse me, one of the important services that Communities and Schools provides is making sure that the tutor is competent, survives a criminal background check, and has a method of interacting with the student and perhaps the student's parents that is effective and consistent. I think that's very important because many people are well-intentioned in wanting to help, but there are certain skills that are required to be good at the job, and that's one of the things that Communities and Schools does, the training, the evaluation, the background check. That's so important for the safety of both the tutor and the student.
Great point. Mental health services. We never have enough mental health services to meet the needs. That's something that we're always working on, trying to increase our capacity to address the social-emotional needs of kids, to help kids learn effective coping strategies, both in dealing with their peers as well as in dealing with other life circumstances. Health in general. We want our kids to be healthy. We've made tremendous progress in addressing vision care needs, for example, increasing the number of kids who have follow-up vision exams and get eyeglasses when the exam says that they need eyeglasses. We still have unmet needs there. Dental services, we've grown dental services, but there's more need for dental services. So we're still mobilizing the entire community for this whole child service delivery system. It's a growth process.
And to the extent that the promise has generated an increase in the enrollment of students in the Kalamazoo Public Schools, obviously, that's another issue that we're having to address, because when the promise was announced, I think there were 10,000 students, and my newspaper article recently indicated there were about 13,000 students. So that increases the need for the ability to assess and then provide the services.
Dan Cardinale, who's with the National Communities and Schools Group, was here in Kalamazoo around the time you launched this campaign, and he wrote about this in the Huffington Post, made a couple of interesting observations I'd like you to react to. One is that he attended a luncheon with a diverse group of nonprofit leaders exploring ways they could support the city's public schools. The local food bank was there, housing advocates, mental health experts, even the Kalamazoo Symphony. Does he have a point here that that if you're going to really bring up the school system and make sure that education is a whole child process, as you say, that there's a lot of different actors involved, some of whom we might not think of at first blush?
Absolutely. We used to talk about the village raising our kids, and really it suggests that we all have an investment. I think that was Dan's point, is when all of us have an investment in our kids doing well, we all have skin in the game. We all have something to contribute. I think communities and schools, our role is to try to mobilize all of those investments so that we're not saying, well, school, good luck with educating our kids. We're all saying it is our responsibility. We all have something to bring to the table.
And the reference to the symphony is not quite so out of the box. I mean, the symphony over many years has had an education component and gone into the schools to provide like the instrument petting zoo and performances. But this is a consistent program based on the El Sistema musical education program from Venezuela, where the symphony provides an after-school education component for children who might not otherwise have the opportunity to learn to play an instrument, to read music, to play in a group where each contribution makes the whole that much better. So I don't think that that's outside the box at all. It's part of what makes us civilized human beings.
And our partnership with the symphony is a terrific example of this investment of partners that folks might think are unlikely partners that we've begun to experience as very likely partners.
And Dan Cardinale, in that same piece for the Huffington Post, goes on to say that for too long now, the school reform movement has been dominated by a false dichotomy. On the one side, there's the no excuse crowd, mostly focusing on school reform, teacher quality, district and school management practices. But he says on the other side is a different kind of argument, which agrees that schools must be held accountable, but also points out that the trauma of poverty is making those results harder and harder to achieve. Is that part of where communities and schools comes in?
Absolutely. The things that Carolyn cited from her experience as a family court judge, we know that those things interfere with kids even showing up for school every day. We as a community have an investment in removing all of those things And in fact, when our kids are successful, those same kids, they're able to give back to the community. They're able to be competent citizens. They'll be the next leaders. They'll be the ones who are taking care of us. And I think that the no excuses crowd says basically don't tell me about all of the things that you're experiencing. Just do well in school. And I think we know that it doesn't work that way.
And a significant component of the work of communities and schools includes recognizing that parents are a significant component of school success. And so in collaboration with the Kalamazoo Public School Systems, we've tried to develop some programs that engage and motivate parents to be a part of the education environment. Some of these parents have had their own really bad experiences in their own school life, and we want to make them feel, as does the public school system, that they are an important and honored and respected part of their children's educational lives.
So as I mentioned, it's a $4.5 million campaign. How much of that has been raised so far?
About 52%. So we're more than halfway there due to the incredible generosity of our funders, donors, and contributors to the campaign to date. So we're very excited to keep going toward that $4.5 million.
And it is a three-year campaign, so we never expected to raise the full amount within the first year of our efforts. And we are working very hard to engage the traditional and the non-traditional contributors to this effort, because we think it's a community investment in our children.
And that was my 3 years is your timetable here for,
yes,
for raising the money?
Yes.
Feel good about it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Kalamazoo is an incredibly generous community. I think some of us joke that Kalamazoo has philanthropy in its DNA as a community, and we certainly as an organization have experienced that.
And I think we should mention the fact that later this month, a team from Kalamazoo Communities and Schools will be going to Charlotte, North Carolina, to be recognized as one of the four communities of excellence. And it's a very exciting recognition of all the hard work of Pam, the staff, and other people who have made it clear to those who do the national evaluation that we are all in this together, and we are very, very excited about this opportunity to hear from other communities about what works, what doesn't work, and we're really excited.
I think one of the things that set Kalamazoo apart in that award is the investment of all of the partners in the whole child delivery system. I think that's what gained us that award.
And, of course, we have an invaluable partner in the Kalamazoo Public Schools and its superintendent who sits on our board, because obviously that relationship is very important to making sure that the people who are assigned to schools from communities and schools receive the understanding that they're supported by the principal in the building as well as the administration of the school system. So we don't want to leave anyone out, especially our important, significant partner.
Thank you very much, both of you, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for giving us your time. And do we have the website available so that we can let people know how to contact us?
Yeah, all they have to do is go to ciskalamazoo.org.
Pam Kingery is Executive Director of Communities and Schools of Kalamazoo. Carolyn Williams is the President of the Board of Communities and Schools of Kalamazoo. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.